Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people. What they want.
The people wanted to see the two leading MVP candidates go head-to-head. That's exactly what they got last night in Philly. It was Nikola Jokic, the Joker, and the Nuggets, who ended up getting the win in the end. Jokic with 22, Embiid with 34. What was it like watching these two go head-to-head?
If you are who you say you are, superstar. That's what I saw. I saw the reigning MVP playing against with the presumptive MVP. Both of their teams' records are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Both of their statistics are similar. And while they're so very skilled and have that in common offensively, there's always something that one of them does that's a lot better than the other. For Joel, it's rim protecting and blocking shots. For the Joker, it's dropping dimes.
Passes. And he did it yesterday, too.
It's dropping dimes. The passes. The one he came across half court and he just dropped
we'll show it. To you.
The long bounce pass. I mean, he just dropping dimes. And so making people around you better is a skill. Like, of course you're going to get the oohs and ahs when you do a spectacular game-changing dunk. But there's nothing like a connection of dropping a dime to somebody and they finishing the play and y'all both just looking back at each other like, good pass. Like, you know that make you feel a lot taller, make you run a lot faster,
yep.
Especially when your best player believes in you. And also their coaching staff, because they believed in their bench. At different times of this game, they turned it over to the bench and gave them opportunities to play big minutes, and they score big points. And shout out to our guy Bones.
Bones Highland.
You know what I'm saying? The thuggish, ruggish Bones.
Bones Highland.
Out there balling, making threes. And the thing is, those wasn't flukes. He had a couple of more. Like, there was a moving screen on Boogie! One time they would have got him another.
Yep.
He's one of those guys that play well off the bench. Shout out to my guy Will Barton, who's always balling, and Monte Morris. And again, this is a team that hopes to get back Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So it's great to see these two superstars play as such and continue to jockey not only for conference standings, but also for MVP.
After the Sixers got waxed by the Nets, after they got waxed by the Nets, they needed to get this win. They didn't get this win. However, I didn't walk away from this game concerned about the Sixers. Joel Embiid had 34. Harden looked good. Maxey, I think he had like 17 or 18. Dybala hit some shots. Like, this Sixers team, even though in a loss, they gave me some reason to believe in them.
If you want something to be concerned about, like seriously, if you're Philadelphia, I just want to make sure late in games that they're moving the ball and getting quality shots. There have been a couple of times where they've gotten in those situations, and it seems on paper you could get it to Harden or you could get it to Joel Embiid. But again, that's still a tangible that they're trying to work out. And Tobias Harris still is going to play a factor. He's going to need to. In particular, offensively, more than just being a screener on a pick and roll action and Thibault being a terrific cutter. But also, another major concern is this pimple on my nose. You know what I'm saying?
you had it yesterday.
You know what I'm saying?
What'd you do to it last night, Jalen?
I feel like Moss at the draft.
What'd you do to it?
The night when I got drafted, man, I had one underneath my eye, dog.
I know.
I doctored it all
That's
night.
Why you wore the red suit, just to take some attention away from the pimple.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm concerned about the pimple on your nose, too.
I'm a 49-year veteran.
What'd you do to it last night?
Hey, dog, I'm a 49-year veteran and dealing with bad skin, man. 24 to 48 hours, it'll be good, man. So just know, if I can go on TV like that and feel confident, you can.
You look great.
Too.
And
you
know there was a blemish on your face, but there was no blemish on Carl Anthony Towns' performance last night. Jakob Poeltl and Zach Collins had nothing for Carl Anthony Towns last
what
night.
What you want to
nothing.
Do?
Nothing.
Nothing. What you trying to
he
do?
He did it from nothing. The rim. He did it from mid-range. He did it from 3 points. He did it on the drives. Poeltl and Zach Collins had nothing for him yesterday.
You know what I thought about yesterday?
What'd you think about?
I hope Pop, with all due respect, like, is considering this being a lot closer than to the end than to a rebuild in San Antonio. Like, I enjoy watching Murray play basketball. He's a terrific young big guard that made the All-Star team. But this ain't Spurs and Greg Popovich basketball on defense.
Carl Anthony Towns had 60 points, James.
And you know Carl Anthony's our guy. and has been on the show, won the three-point contest, and I'm glad that his game has now rescinded to what it was at different points of his career.
Yep.
And people were looking at him as a notable big. And by the way, the first center to score 60 since Shaquille O'Neal. You see what I mean? So this doesn't clearly happen very often.
It's the most I'm happy to see our guy season.
I'm happy to see our guy do it from three, like you mentioned, do it in the post, go left, go right, do it. What about the step backs in the
corner?
He
had step backs like James Harden, you know, on the Rockets.
Absolutely. So he's a terrific skilled guy. There's no accident. He's won a skills challenge in the NBA weekend, All-Star weekend. He's won a three-point contest. And obviously he's played in the All-Star game. So it's good to see him get his game back to the left. Over the hook, and again, he was balling, running the floor. But the thing that really stood out to me again is I don't like seeing that version of Pop. Like, I like to see the celebrating, getting the most wins of all time Pop. Not watching his team
get 60. Look at those Timberwolves, Jay. Look at those Timberwolves.
They're climbing.
They're a legit team. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to give somebody some trouble in the first round.
But here's the Adam Silver of it all, and I'm not mad at it. You're still a part of that plan.
Yep.
If you're sitting on that seventh spot.
But if you get the seventh spot, one thing I like about the plan is you got to lose two to get out.
Correct.
They're not going to lose two games in a row.
It's like the Lakers going to have to win two to get
in. That ain't happening. I'm over that. I am way over that. However, the Western Conference power shifted last night. Mm-hmm. You know why, Mr. Rose?
Why's that?
Draymond Green played professional basketball for the Golden State Warriors and made an immediate impact. It is a correlation between his presence and Steph Curry getting 47 points.
So you look at those stats, right?
Mm-hmm.
6, 7, and 6. Not eye-popping.
No.
Not necessarily game-changing.
But you got to watch the game to see how it changes.
But that's why you got to watch the actual impact that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And like our guy Stove God Cooks once said, it's what you do after the break. The value of Draymond. So you could talk about his lack of shooting, and he did make a three in this game. But his impact on number 30 is something that ain't on a piece of paper.
You can't, the screens he sets.
That's his offensive lineman. That's his bodyguard.
Yep.
That's his three-time champion teammate. That's his friend. That's his brother from another mother. He's back in the lineup and everything gets settled.
Yep.
The Splash Brothers get the run cut. You see Clay cut back door and get the layup. You saw the look that I told you about Giannis. Did you see Clay? Dog.
It's Jokic for you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, dog. You know what I mean? And when you have that, I was watching this team thinking like, Kuminga got good experience with Draymond being out.
You know what Draymond was thinking after the game?
What was he thinking?
He said, we're winning the championship. Straight up. He's been back for one game after 2 months out. For one game. Put a microphone in front of him and he says, we are going to win the championship.
And I love to see like two Michiganders collide. You know what I'm saying? Saginaw's finest, Flint Town's finest. On a live play, they was trying to, Kuzma tried to throw it to himself off the backboard and Draymond got in the way. You know I paid attention to that. But in all honesty, though, since Draymond has returned, he also, like Aaron Rodgers, and by the way, I'd be really disappointed if Davante Adams don't get his bread, and Tom Brady announcing he's coming back when the tournament brackets get released, Draymond understands how to master the moment in multimedia. And that savvy, I love it so very much. You know why? Because he knew it was Steph's birthday. Right.
He knew they were playing the Wizards.
He knew they were playing the Wizards.
At home.
And he knew he gave them a chance to lead up, give them a few practices. He could come out, not only make a statement on the floor, but make a statement on the microphone.
And get us
he
talking
said
about
they, he said they winning a championship. He said he should be defensive player of the year. And he only been back one game.
One game.
Good
he
job,
said
Day-Day.
6 points.
Good
and he
job,
had 6 points. And he
Good
got
job,
us talking
family.
About him
That's
celebrating
my guy.
Him.
That's my guy.
And I'm telling it again, like
Saginaw Pride.
There's gotta be a little
All right.
part. There's gotta be a little part of Draymond that enjoyed
family.
The fact that they had struggles while he was out. There's gotta be a little part that enjoyed the fact that his absence was almost as remarkable as his presence in that lineup.
Never let someone tell you they don't wanna be appreciated. Okay, the people that tell you, I don't care, it don't matter. No. Those be the people
stuff.
That care the most.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Jalen.
What up, though?
We have some very important news that matters. We do. All I love this one so much. If you live in a state that sells recreational or medicinal cannabis, you can get some products from a gentleman by the name of Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson, I can't even say it with a straight face. Edibles that are shaped like ears. But here's my problem. They're shaped like ears with the bite already taken out of them. So I feel like it should be a full ear that you can then bite.
I like what you did there. And you can be mean if you're funny. And this is mean and funny.
It's hilarious.
Especially if you're Evander Holyfield watching Mike Tyson profit off the fact that he bit your ear.
He got to look in the mirror every day and see that ear.
I was at that fight. I sure was. And it's great to see Mike continue to reinvent himself, kind of like a George Foreman. Like, I remember watching him be a all-time great fighter that all of a sudden, you know, some of the greats like Muhammad Ali, and then reinvent himself with the grill, and then youngsters not even knowing that he was an all-time great fighter. That's now what's happening with Mike Tyson. He's entering a world where he has reinvented himself in movies and with products and appearances and training videos, that now people know him from that. And you know what you know him from? Being my little guy.
That's not fair.
You know what I'm saying? Being my little guy. You know what I'm saying? Where's T.I. when I need him?
Mike Tyson once referenced me as his little guy. Jalen's little guy. I'll never forget that. Me and Mike Tyson forever have beef.
If you get jammed up, don't mention his name.
I might have to just, as a journalist who takes, you know, this research serious, I might have to try one of these gummies.
Really?
As a journalist, yes. Yeah,
okay,
journalist.
You would do that?
If it's legal.
Can you tell me if the ear is already bitten?
I'll tell you. I'm going to eat the whole ear. I'm going to eat two ears. Jalen Rose, I'm so glad that we don't have the Lakers in the A block, because I'm done talking about them. It seems like LeBron's done playing with them. You saw last night LeBron was mad at his teammates as they faced the Raptors in another disappointing performance.
The only block
for the Lakers
I care about is D-Block!
We'll be back right after this.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Jardians.
Doubleheader Wednesday night, starting with some of the most exciting players to watch play the game, Luka Doncic and Kevin Durant. That's Wednesday at 7:30. Then at 10 o'clock, it is Jason Tatum and Steph Curry. The stars are out Wednesday night on ESPN. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17, the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose. The Lakers are a bad basketball team, and it was evident early in the game against the Raptors. They were down 21-2. 21-2. It was over before it started. This Lakers team is not making the playoffs.
Barnes was out there like Scott LaRock.
Love Barnes.
Producing hits. Cutting and scratching.
Gary Trent Jr. has been scoring since he got the Raptors.
And by the way, unfortunately for LeBron, a lot of those steals, a lot of those buckets were on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that didn't feel good, and he was clearly upset about it. So shout to the Raptors for getting it done on the road and putting a smack down early against the Lakers.
I mean, 21-2 to start the game. Pascal Siakam got buckets. Gary Trent Jr. has been on like a low-key tear in the last month or so, just getting to his spots and getting buckets. This Lakers team is not making the playoffs. They're not winning two play-in games.
Kuminga and Scottie Barnes, those are like young bigs that like play real physical, you know, get up into you defensively, but also like can finish around the basket and will dunk on you. Those are the guys you do not want guarding you in rec ball.
No.
I'm telling you, they hit you with their knees, hit you with their elbows. They're not even trying.
Why are you covering me from 45 feet away?
I'm not
even asking for the ball.
Man, that's
leave
like
me alone.
A young Kawhi. Just like, just leave me alone, man.
That's what you're saying about Kevin
Scottie
Garnett
Burn.
Yesterday.
Yes. Like, perfect example.
Stop covering me this hard.
Like, why are you guarding me?
I'm not even trying to get the ball. Well, the Lakers are absolute trash, and the Raptors are a team that I don't want to face in the first round. They're sitting around the sixth seed right now, so they can be in a 3-6 matchup. That's going to be tricky out in the playoffs. Jalen, we talked about Karl-Anthony Towns scoring 60.
Big Cat.
We talked about Steph Curry having 47. We talked about the MVP candidates, Jokic and Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Ho-hum, just another win. He had 30. They beat the Jazz, a tough out. Are we overlooking Giannis and the Bucks, both as MVP candidates and as title contenders?
Well, I'm going to tell you the thing that we're overlooking with the Bucks is that they continue to accumulate depth up front. Remember, Giannis, no matter what list you want to put him on, is one of the best players and one of the best bigs in the league.
Easy.
Top
gonna argue
one,
that.
Two, or three, no matter what day
no
it is,
argue
right?
With you about that.
But then all of a sudden, you get Brook Lopez back from injury.
Played last night.
Who can score on the post, is more of a three-point shooter now, but has improved defensively.
Rim protector, rebounder.
Serge Ibaka, who's a three-point shooter.
Yep.
Can make one or two dribbles and finish at the hoop if you run him off the shot, but also a defender and bring you toughness. Bobby Portis is also giving him more minutes up front. He can stretch the floor with his three-point shooting, and we know that he has some defensive tenacity as well.
Was Bobby Portis Finals MVP because it felt like it?
Well, he's the people's MVP.
He was the people's
MVP. Milwaukee's
MVP.
And so, but their fan base is smart enough to understand that, yeah, we have a big three. And by the way, Middleton has found this game and his efficiency in particular, like the last six games. And Drew Holiday is the best player in the NBA that nobody ever talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Because in theory, he guards the best point guards. And he's productive against the best point guards. It's just that he just goes about his business. And by the way, he got a couple of brothers in the league.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And so I believe the Bucks, again, what they are doing up front and what Giannis continues to do all season still has to make them the favorite in the East.
It doesn't have that new car smell that the Sixers and the Nets have. It's not exciting. There's no great story. They didn't change their roster from last year to this year that much. But they're winning games. And Giannis, as you mentioned, is one of the top three players in the league, however you want to shape it. A lot of great performances. We mentioned Steph 47, Karl-Anthony Towns 60, Trae Young 46. For the Hawks, and they beat the Blazers. Trae Young, they're sitting in a play-in position right now after being the 5 seed last year and going all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been a little disappointing, but do you see them getting into the playoffs?
Let me just make sure I say something that sometimes gets overlooked about the Hawks.
What's up?
That they made the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it.
And they beat the Knicks and the Sixers in particular. And the one thing about Trae Young is if I go to my favorite restaurant and I'm looking for young point guards and there's something on the menu, I have my Trae Young with unlimited range.
Okay.
That's still going to get me double figures assists, but he's miniature in size.
Okay.
I have my oversized guard, as I'll call him, in Luka, is going to get me supersized triple doubles. And I've seen him do it in the playoffs. I think he had 46 in game 7 against the Clippers. And then I got the explosive athlete in Ja Morant, who leads the league in points in the paint. And so, like, those three guys, while you can look at their statistics and compare them in a lot of ways, they're vastly different on how they get it done.
Yep.
And it's like, the choice is yours. You can get with this. You can
so
get
when
with
you
that.
Go to your favorite restaurant, you order point guards off the menu.
No, I order sake.
Oh, okay. Moving on, Jalen Rose.
Hasaki.
Last week, we learned that the role of Billy Hoyle of White Man Can't Jump will go to Jack Harlow. Now,
jumpin',
Quavo,
jumpin'.
Lefty, big guard, lefty, jumpin', just like
jumpin',
you,
yep.
Wants to play Sidney Dean in White Man Can't Jump. Do you support this?
Of course. That's my guy. Peace up. A-Town down. You know when the Fab Five was going through the NCAA tournament, fam? We went through Atlanta twice.
Did.
And you know the kinship that Detroit and Atlanta has. You can't drive
Detroit in the Bay.
Those, both of those. I'm trying to tell you, you can't go 15 minutes in Atlanta without meeting somebody from Detroit. So with that being said, of course I want to see my guy Quavo get this role. And he can ball. A lefty.
Quavo's got
number
game.
Five. Can shoot the three. No doubt about it.
Quavo's got game. He's got legitimate game.
Who gonna play Rosario Dawson?
It's not.
What's her name?
I'm telling you. You're the best. Rosario Dawson was like three
name?
When that movie
yeah,
came
what's
out.
Her name?
She's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I love her accent.
Rosie Perez.
Yeah, who's going to play Rosie Perez? That's a good one, right?
We'll tell you right after. Oh, look at that. Jumpman. We should be the washed-up guys they beat in the first game.
Jumpman.
We should be in there.
We got to get the OG.
We got to get in there.
We got to get the hairline OG Marcus Johnson.
I should grow my hair out. Maybe I should grow my hair out and have some hair.
Yeah, you might as well. You know what I'm saying? You might as well.
Look at you.
I shouldn't have never cut my hair off. I'm mad.
Man, we got to be in this.
Hey, you can be on national TV, bad hair day, bad skin day. Hey, it can be you one day.
Wait, let's work on this pimple, dog.
It can be you one day.
We'll be back right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby and Jalen's pimple.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, Jalen Rose. It is officially March, and the tournament kicks off tonight with the first four games. And there is still time to sign up and download the Tournament Challenge app. Millions of brackets are being created as we speak. You can even join the Jalen and Jacoby group and compete against me, Jalen Anthony Rose. Jalen, I'm an NBA fan. I don't pay that much attention to college basketball because my college was trash at basketball. However, I do pay attention to the top prospects. Chet Holmgren is widely considered as one of the best prospects. What do you think about Chet at 7'1 frame?
This time of year, I just like to see the college players as potential NBA prospects like Chet continue to raise their stock and see if they can lead them teams to a national championship. He's the player I'm going to be watching for, and we're a show you should be watching for tomorrow, 4 p.m., ESPN2.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx. Tip-off is coming. Download the app now.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Rose, we have some details about Aaron Rodgers' contract. 3 years, $150 million. Davante Adams, no details on his contract.
So for me, the elephant in the room, and you're going to continue to see people talk about Aaron Rodgers' guarantee, which is tied for the most guarantees in the history of the NFL, 150. But Aaron Rodgers is 3 years. Josh Allen, who he's tied with, his deal was 6 years. So Aaron Rodgers did break the bank. He deserves all of the money he's got coming to him. I just want everybody to also know this. If he's going to get that money and not have a happy Davante Adams, it ain't going to mean as much.
No. Davante Adams, they tried to franchise tag Davante Adams on the same day that Aaron Rodgers signed.
Correct. So I'm just going to tell all of y'all this right now. We're going to be consistent on this program. Aaron Rodgers is the headline. Davante Adams is the story.
Well, you remember that game in the playoffs that they lost. Seems like Aaron Rodgers refused to pass to anyone that wasn't named Davante Adams, to the point where it was comical at the end of the game.
Well, if that's the case, then you need to be walking in with his contract in your hand, too. And so if we're going to be Scotty and Mike, oh, yeah, they are Scotty and Mike. One of them getting paid and one of them ain't. Yeah,
the MVP got paid. And the supporting role did not.
No. I'm Davante Adams. I need my bread. I'm not signing that franchise tag.
On the franchise tag, not you pass get your bread for a year.
No. We're not doing that. Because this time next year, we're going to be debating whether Aaron Rodgers is coming back or not.
We definitely are.
You know what I'm saying? So we're not doing that.
Aaron Rodgers is
going to win
MVP.
I need my bread right now.
Losing the playoffs, win MVP again.
No, I ain't getting in that trick bag with that man. This time next year, we're going to be debating how he can restructure his contract, get more in bonus. Is he going to stay? Does he have the roster that he's asking the front office for? How does he feel after getting eliminated in the playoffs? Because they ain't winning Super Bowl.
They won one.
Yeah, not another one. Aaron Rodgers ain't winning another Super Bowl in Green Bay.
Really? No. I could see it happening.
No.
They're one of the three best teams in the NFC, so you can't say they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Okay. Matt LaFleur is my guy. I love him a lot. Terrific young coach. I want him to get the same respect as McVay gets, who just won a Super Bowl, as Shanahan gets, who overachieves in particular with his quarterback play. But again, I'm going to just tell you, fam, as Aaron Rodgers climbed, he was supposed to pull Davante with him. Davante never should have had to say publicly, I'm not signing the franchise tag. That's a loss in translation. That's a loss in translation.
That Aaron Rodgers was going to hold out until he felt like Davante Adams was guaranteed to be on the team. And it sounds like the team was like, oh, don't worry. We're going to tag Davante. He'll be here. And Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, cool. And then he signs. And then turns out Devontae's like, well, no one talked to me about this because I'm not playing for the tag.
So, again, Aaron Rodgers is the headline. And I know that he wants to break the news himself. And, you know, I love his personality and I love his game. I still think Tom Brady should have won MVP this past year, but Aaron Rodgers is that deal and deserves a blank check. But what I'm making sure I let people know is while he is the franchise quarterback, they have a franchise wide receiver number one. And his name is Davante Adams. And if I don't see him get a long-term big-time deal, the Green Bay Packers ain't winning the Super Bowl. That's exactly what I said.
If Davante Adams gets a deal, then they can win the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Okay. Colin Kaepernick is working out with Tyler Lockett.
The Rocket.
I feel like if Colin Kaepernick was going to play quarterback in the NFL, it would have already happened.
Agreed. And the one thing about that position in particular is it is one of familiarity. And you notice as players get further and further removed 1 year, 2 year, you know, whether it's injury or in his case, you know, being white ball from the league, that diminishes, not improves the opportunity for him to get that shot to get back in the league. But it's great to see him working out. And if you want to practice your deep throws, Lockett is the guy.
Jalen, I'm going to do a media thing right now.
Okay. The Lions can use Colin Kaepernick. He'd be starting for us.
What about Jared Montana? What? He'd be starting for you over Jared Montana? Remember when Jared Montana won the game in the locker room after the game? They were so excited. He said, why don't we win them all? Why don't we go on a three-game win streak for the first time in Lions history?
See, this is where we hit the brakes.
What happened? Remember? Remember that locker room post-celebration? Okay.
So here's what I want to remind the world. The season's going to end, and people who aren't Lions fans are going to act like our coach did a good job.
Dan Campbell?
They rallied for Dan.
They played hard in losses.
Okay. So you're going to act like he did a good job. You're going to try to tell me that Dan Campbell did a good job with my favorite team that I watched.
How many games they win? Three?
That's first.
They won three games?
The second thing is there'll be no Jared Montana slander.
You just put Colin Kaepernick as the starter over him.
But I would take Colin Kaepernick over him.
They were 3-13-1. So that's four games they didn't lose, Jalen.
Four games they didn't lose.
That's a great season for the Lions.
Aaron Rodgers knew he wasn't leaving that division. Don't get it twisted.
Why would you?
That you got five easy wins. And hold on, you heard that noise? Cha-ching! Kirk Cousins just got another check. Cha-ching, you hear another? Taysom Hill just got another check.
Did you see Christian Kirk's deal?
I did.
Christian Kirk?
85, wow.
I was like, wait, Christian Kirk, that's a guy from the Cardinals, right? I was like, wait a second, because I remember watching Nuke catch a bunch of balls for them. Ruzioni, the little Italian guy.
Well, you know, let me tell you three other people who saw this deal.
Saw A.J. Green catch some balls for them. I didn't see Christian Kirk catch that many balls.
Well, let me tell you three other people that saw that deal get done. One is my namesake, who will get on the show at some point, Jalen Ramsey. The other one is former great Detroit Lion big play Slay, who are D-backs that were scratching their heads. Like, respectfully, if he as a receiver is getting that kind of bread, then their money should be doubled. And let me tell you somebody else who was really watching.
Davante Adams.
Davante Swing. And I ain't talking about the one from Rex in Effect. Okay, he was watching. And I bet you that number 85 is up on the wall now.
He called his agent a few times.
That number's up on. That's the high score in the video game.
He called his agent a few times. So he's now the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Christian Kirk.
Hey. I ain't mad at him.
You don't even know what to say.
I ain't mad at him.
Taylor Rose, speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless.
Speechless for the first time in 10 years. Yeah. Jalen Rose is speechless.
I'm speechless.
Jalen, so I'm going to do the media thing.
Okay.
I really thought the Lakers at some point were going to turn it around. I really thought, well, they just make the play-in, and then you know they're a tough out in the playoffs.
Can I say the elephant in the room? You thought? Can I really say what you thought?
What?
You thought LeBron James being on the roster was going to put them in playoff contention?
Yeah.
Especially if he's playing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what you thought.
Yeah. AD's coming back, and when AD came back, he looked great. I thought Russell Westbrook was gonna be great when LeBron had to sit. He can't play 48 minutes, so then like Westbrook can kind of cook while LeBron's on the bench. This is gonna be great, but they're trash, trash. So I'm gonna ask you a question. You can't get anything back if you trade Westbrook. Should Pelinka be considering trading LeBron or AD?
You can't trade either one.
Why not?
Well, you don't even consider trading LeBron. Because while he needs to be there as we celebrate the championship we win in the bubble, as a professional and as somebody to help put this team together, you got to be there when we fighting for the play-in. That's just how it goes. So
I'm talking about the offseason, obviously.
But that's just a non-starter. The AD thing is a non-starter, just like the Jaylen Brown one in a different way. You're not going to get a player as good in return. You're not going to draft anybody that's just as good in return. And the prospects of who you get when you replace him ain't going to make your team better. Because it ain't many guys that just can do what he can do when he's out there on the floor. Playing alongside LeBron, who in theory has morphed himself from a power guard, playing like power forward and primary guard to like point center, like a Draymond Green that can score and still be a go-to guy. And so he's taking those minutes. That's why Kyle Kuzma couldn't really fit up front with LeBron and AD, because he needed some of those minutes that we see LeBron as the primary ball handler, but he's really playing minutes up front.
Jaylen.
And so you're not going to get any value in doing it.
LeBron James is averaging 29.7 points per game. He is number two, tied for number two with Giannis. Joel Embiid, 29.9 points per game.
So what are we saying about Giannis is MVP candidacy if he leads the league in scoring and he has a better record than Embiid and Joker?
Well, a couple things about Giannis. Has more assists than Embiid, too. He doesn't have Joker assists, but he averages 6 assists a game. That's 2 more than Embiid. They've got a better record.
How about the Bucks?
His numbers are the same.
How about the Bucks' big three are going to be the first trio in the history of the NBA to each average 20 points and at least 5 assists. That's never happened.
Really? Middleton gets 5 assists?
He does.
Why do I got to look this up now?
He does. And I would know, because in 2000, 2001, it was only 3 players in the NBA averaging 25 and 5.
Let me guess. One of them?
Kobe.
Named Jalen Rose.
Mashburn. And yours truly.
5.4 points a game. Excuse me.
So it just shows you how the game has grown. And the pace of the game.
Jrue Holiday, 6.7 assists a game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 5.9 assists a game. Giannis doesn't win the MVP.
Fatigue?
Yeah. Just won the finals MVP. One back-to-back. It's going to be Embiid just because people are tired of Giannis and Jokic.
It might be Joker.
It should be Joker. That's my pick.
Joker going to put on a couple of more 40,
35, 16, 15, and 12. Yeah. Like, those are tough.
Yeah. And that was a big win in Philly.
It was.
That was a big road win. Because if Joel had better numbers and won, that would have solidified it more. But for the Joker to go on the road, and if you really were playing a game of rec ball and you were lining up the Nuggets roster and the Sixers roster, Joel plays with better talent.
Yeah, this is how rec ball works. Me and you are captains, right? And if we picked from those 10 players that started the game yesterday, there'd be a lot of Sixers off the board before some of those Nuggets came off the board.
Correct. Like you'll have Doc Rivers picking people over his own son.
For sure. I'm taking Maxey over Harris too. I love Maxey. I had a Sixers win. Maxey over, Dybul over, parlay that was looking so good.
It was all a dream.
Until Bones Highland decided to do his thing, man.
His nickname is dope.
They called him Busy Bones because he was skinny growing up in Delaware.
I see it.
They called him Bones.
It's a great name.
And I'm glad he got a chance to not only play well, but he's back on the East Coast. And just hearing his backstory about how basically he and his brother, I believe, were saved from a fire.
Yeah.
And those firefighters, I believe, were at the game or a version of them.
I think he gave them jackets that represent
that firehouse or that station.
Yeah,
and for them to be at the game and for him to have the game of his life so far. And they needed all of those points.
Well, listen, you know what I mean?
Like, they needed each of them.
Oh, yeah.
Jaylen, he was balling.
This is just another opportunity for me to say that this is my personal opinion. It's my personal taste. I cannot be wrong about my personal opinion and taste.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like Bone Thugs. Don't like Bone Thugs. Never did. Just never got me.
98580. We about to change the name of the line to J-A-C-O-B-Y. Call 98580.
When's the last time you
J-A-C-O-B-Y.
You played a Bone Thugs song?
Biggie the other day, Armed and Dangerous.
No, that one don't count. That's a Biggie song.
Well, the Bones on that song. Notorious Thug. They got one with Big. They got one with Pac.
I'm telling you, if I went through your history, your playlist history, there's no Bone Thugs on there for the past 5 years.
I have Bone on my playlist, but you know
it's not my taste, it's not my thing.
But you don't like Tupac either.
I don't like Tupac either.
Right. So I mean, just like Reg the Ledge,
you can tell me I'm wrong.
Doesn't like Cam'ron.
Call 985-80. See, that's right. Reg is just objectively wrong about that. Remember what I did?
Well, you objective. No, you can't get on Reg.
Remember everything I said about my opinion? And I can't be wrong about this. Remember all that I said?
Now you're going to slander Reg.
No, not when it comes to Cam'ron. Not when it comes to Dipset.
Well, it's the same thing. I feel the same way about you and Pac.
No.
What you mean?
No.
Just so you know.
Just so I know what?
There are more people that love Pac than Cam.
Agreed.
So when you say Reggie is not going to be able to slander Cam, that's your personal opinion because you riding for Cam.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm riding for Cam. See, my problem is I'm riding for Cam and Tupac against both of y'all. That's what I'm talking about.
Life. So call 985-80-JALEN if you love Bone Thugs or if you don't. Let us know. 985-80-JALEN. You can leave a voicemail. If you call
985-80-JALEN. I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
That's what I would say. I miss Uncle Charles. I wish I had Uncle Charles. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. You know you don't like Bone Thugs.
I love it. It's the first of the month. You know. Wake up.
You can't sing a song.
It's the thuggish, ruggish bone.
Name a verse. Classic. You can't even hear what they're saying.
I'm at work.
Call 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this one. I don't like Bone Thugs.
Yo, what up, Jalen and Jacoby? Hey, shout out my boy Reg. Yo, my name's Andre from New Mexico calling in. I know the NCAA tournament's coming up, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion on something. I'm a proud graduate of an HBCU, Southern University in Louisiana. And I've been looking at the bracket, and every year, an HBCU or a smaller D1 school always got to play a number one seed or a number two seed in the bracket. So I'm thinking, if they won their conference championship, why we always got to be a 15 seed or a 16 seed? Why can't we be a higher seed or lower seed? So I was thinking, all conference champions should be at least a 10 seed or lower because they won their conference. So in that case, it brings more parity to the tournament. You'll have more known D1 schools playing the number one seed or a two seed. So what do you think about that? And then also, if you can make changes to the NCAA tournament, what would they be? So holler back at me. Love listening to you guys. Keep giving the people what they want and keep getting them checks.
Big shout to Andre.
Great caller.
He said the bracket's racist. That's what he said. He said the bracket's racist. He said, we're HBCU. We won our conference. Why are we a 15 seed?
One of the biggest misnomers is that all HBCUs are predominantly black. That's not true.
What?
That's not true. That's why I'm here to teach you.
Predominantly? Yes, they're predominantly black. They're not all black.
Let your brother teach you.
Okay, I'll listen.
Trust me. All HBCUs aren't predominantly black. Remember, I just gave you that game. You have a Google on your phone. You can Google
first
it right now.
Let's look up predominantly. So,
because I don't want you to leave this show.
I'm wrong all the time.
Be dead wrong. That's why I'm spitting that fact, because I knew it would surprise you. The second thing I want to say is what he's describing is classism that plays out via the brackets.
Can we hold on for a second? I just think the term predominantly is where I got stuck. Because they are predominantly black, but they're not all black. Predominantly means mainly, like the majority. The majority of people at HBCUs are black. But they're much more diverse than you would think, we'll say. That's fair to say.
Than I would think? Or more diverse than
Sure, yes.
Okay.
Whenever I find out someone went to the HBCU, I always ask about the white people that went there.
Okay. So more diverse than you.
Sure.
Think. That's why I was here to give you that. Thank you. I'm glad I gave you that nugget.
Predominantly wrong.
You know what I'm saying? Your kids might end up going to HBCU.
Shout to them. They're half black.
Absolutely. And so how about this? Andre, what you're describing is a level of classism that ended up happening when the late 60s, the best players from urban environments, like an Earl to Pearl Monroe, for example, went to HBCUs. And then the national players who got like a different stage, like my biological father, went to a traditionally white institution. And in that case, that was Providence. And so what continued to happen over the years is more and more dollars got invested in the predominantly white institutions. And now it put them in position to trump what the HBCU can offer. Just think about when we talk about those schools, we talk about their facilities. Mm-hmm. We talk about their football contracts. We talk about their shoe deals. We talk about their television contract. We talk about their visibility. So all of those things now basically took the inner city athlete and took them to the predominantly white school. It happened with Chris Webber and I in high school. Just think about the dynamics of what happened. We both were Detroit area kids. His family ain't pay $40,000 a year for him to go to Country Day. You see what I mean? He was parachuted there because he was a talented basketball player. But you also could get parachuted there because you're a talented student. That's what I want people to understand, too. Like, talented students get the same attention that talented athletes get from colleges.
Great point.
So don't ever believe that. Like, if you're a talented student in high school and your aptitude is there and your grades are there and your attendance is there and all of your scores are there, like, you can be recruited like you're the number one player in the country. And, by the way, you can actually have a job and or get paid while you're on campus, where the athlete just started being able to do so. But with that being said, if you made the conference winner a 10 seed or below, what ends up happening is you get in the way of what I just said, the money. Follow the bread. And the reason why the conference champion can't get rewarded is because we need you to pay to watch the conference championship. That's the team that gets rewarded. So you can play the whole season in the Big Ten or whatever conference and win a regular season title. Just think about it. Coach K got up to the podium and was apologizing because his team lost in the conference tournament. He like, wait a minute. We just won a regular season.
We played 30 games.
He like, so? He like, we 26-8. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously. Like, so?
Doesn't matter.
Because the conference tournament is the money. So how do we make everybody want to participate in the conference tourney? We give everybody an automatic bid if they win that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, what you're describing is right, and it's really unfortunate that system has been created that way, and like reparations, is going to take a long time to fix.
Second question asks is, how would you change the tournament? I would do away with the play-in. A 64 is good. I was not looking at 64 teams being like, there's some teams that really got shafted out of this one. 64 Agreed. Is plenty of teams.
I don't like the 68
form. Yeah, and then like the games we have today, I'm not watching the games today. You know what I mean? Like it's the pre-tournament. No, thank you. Give me 64 teams. It was not broken. I don't know what got fixed.
But I can't front, and I've done a better job of not biting my nails. When we lost in the Big Ten tournament, I was like, I'm glad we got 68 this year.
We were like, how many tournament wins do they need? How many tournament wins do they need? What'd you say? One.
I'm like, one.
How many did they get?
None.
Well, like, they're in.
Okay.
They're in. They're going. I might have to go to Indianapolis.
I might have to go to the game.
They're going to Indianapolis. You're going to go to both games. They're winning the first one.
Yeah, me and this pimple going to the game.
You got to buy an extra ticket.
Get an extra ticket.
We'll be back tomorrow with Jalen Jacoby and Jalen's pimple on his nose. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Please send alcohol. We're not done. And I'm talking about rubbing alcohol. We're not done. We are not done.